KSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. News. Biden could send new longer-range attack-em missiles to Ukraine. Powerful new long-range ballistic missiles. This is London reporting. Complete with cluster bombs will reportedly form part of the aid package if passed. Always that caveat. There is an additional piece at the Financial Times today by Senator J.D. Vance saying that Europe is not an ally, it's a client, and it's the time is over. The Congress has certainly no strength right now to pass the $61 billion or whatever odd number it is for Ukraine. The Congress is a problem for the Biden administration, and can it be solved, Mary, or is Congress the final word on this?
Well, I think there's an underlying assumption that should be elucidated about Senator Vance's statements about Ukraine. What it implies is that Vladimir Putin can somehow be appeased and will stop at the border of Ukraine if allowed to do so. And therefore, it's safe and okay to let him do that. And I just think that's wrong, because I think history shows that Putin has never behaved in that way. He has, as we've said just in these last segments, invaded several sovereign nations when allowed to do so. It also implies that somehow, the European nations have the ability to push back should Putin desire to continue his predations on further into the continent of Europe. And that's not true either. We, unfortunately, even though we would like the Europeans to return to the military strength that they once had during the Cold War, that's gone. And so they don't have the domestic, industrial base to produce the ammunition or the weapons, et cetera, that they would need to defend themselves. Ukraine is trying to build that, but they need time. And that's why it's so critical for us to supply this weaponry, which, by the way, U.S. Companies are making. So, we're also, in some respects, quote unquote, benefiting from this because we're reindustrializing, and that's good. We need to. But I just find it a bit detached from reality to pretend that somehow just because Ukraine is, several thousand miles away doesn't mean that it represents a threat to U.S. interests. Now, that might be true in some far corner of, Africa, where we don't have a national interest. But it's not true of Ukraine, which is central, not just geographically, but strategically, to the countries of NATO and to Europe, which is our major trading partner. So I sort of throw my hands up into the air. I find it a very frustrating conversation. I understand that there are domestic politics at play in the United States, but national security should not be a partisan issue. And I think that the war in Ukraine is far more important than many U.S. politicians are crediting it for.
Right now, it is uniform through the conversation that I've read in the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, a comment from all across the EU, that they're alarmed at their shortfall in defending themselves. At the same time, they're frustrated that they don't have a road forward. These are all the four majors, Italy, Germany, France, and the UK, but the minors too in the eastern part. One third are above the 2%, one third are at 2%, one third are below 2%. And the timeline is used, 5 to 8 years. And then the most chilling line of all, Mary, in reading these many remarks from all across Europe, this is not post-war anymore, this is pre-war. You see that, Mary? The axis of resistance, is it getting ready to attack?
It could be. But, the best way to deter attacks is through strength. And I just don't think that there is the urgency in Western Europe in particular to arm itself to the degree that it needs to. And it may, unfortunately, take a catastrophe in order to wake them up.
Then we move just one dot to the member of the Axis of Resistance that clearly is struggling right now to maintain its hold on its economy, and that's China. All these tricks that China's using, we know they don't work. They've been tried here as well. Lower interest rates for people who owe on their mortgages, or support the stock market with banning short selling. None of that is working right now. How do you measure China, Mary? You were many years there. We get very poor information. It's never a good judge. However, the foreign investment, we can count on that. It has exited China. Does that tell us that the deterioration there is genuine, is real, that this isn't a feint at anything, that they've lost the narrative? We've got 30 seconds.
The answer is yes. We've seen the greatest exodus of foreign direct investment since 1993. That's the Jiang Zemin era. You can always tell what's actually going on in an economy by the flow of capital and people. Many Chinese people are not allowed to leave China, but they have found ways to get their capital out. And so that's what we should look at. In fact, people are trying to flow into the United States. Capital is flowing into the United States. And that should tell us something. The Chinese economy is in free fall. They're in a deflationary environment. They have a property bust. They have very high digit unemployment with their youth. And Xi Jinping is facing, I think, a lot of domestic discontent that we're not hearing about in the West because we cannot report on it. But it's there, John. And we need to keep a close eye, not just on what's going on inside China, but we need to demonstrate, again, deterrence and strength in case this regime gets ideas that it wants to distract attention from what's going on at home by launching adventures abroad.
Mary Kissel, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.